Well, good morning, girls and boys. Who girls and the rest are boys? Well, it's nice to see some of you back again, but then there's some away again. Sickness is amongst us, but it's good to see those of you who are able to be out this morning. We're in Mark, the chapter 15, and this will be our final study of this particular verse in the will of the Lord. Mark chapter 15 and that verse 39. And when the centurion which stood over against him, God's emphasizing for us in that little phrase that the centurion was beside the cross. Therefore he heard all that went on and saw all that went on. Saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost. That is the spirit of life within the body of Christ. He said, truly, this man was the Son of God. That's a wonderful statement, boys and girls. Truly, this man was the Son of God. Do you know there are millions and millions in the world today and they have the record of the Bible. They have the full record of the Savior's miraculous ministry as well as his wonderful words. Something that centurion didn't have. He hadn't heard the Savior preach, I'm sure, nor had he seen him heal the sick of all sorts of diseases, even raise the dead. But even though he hadn't seen all these things, what he saw at the cross was enough for him to realize, this man is the Son of God. And as I say, there are millions and millions of people throughout the years that the Bible has been made available to mankind who have read all the things that Jesus did and have never realized, never recognized what this man recognized. Jesus is the Son of God. Do you know that today? That's nice to see a head or two nodding. Yes, he's the Son of God. Well, I want to start off by emphasizing something that I actually mentioned on Tuesday when I was with you, and that is this. The Lord Jesus, even in the hour of his apparent weakness, will not be left without a witness. We know that the disciples all ran away. And I'm sure, boys and girls, they lived the rest of their lives. And whenever they would think of that, it would have hurt them. Their hearts would have been wounded as they thought, we ran away and left the Lord. Oh, when we do wrong, boys and girls, we may repent. And the Lord will forgive us and cleanse us, and he will put the matter out of his mind. But we can't. Though we are forgiven for the wrongdoing, we remember that we did wrong. And it'll torture us the rest of our lives. And it's only when we get to heaven that torture, that memory will be removed. Just you remember that. And I'm sure these men grieved on many, many occasions at what they did. But even though the Lord was left by his loved ones, those for whom he was dying, he raised up witnesses. I'm thinking, you know, that not only did he raise up the witness of the dying thief and this centurion, but we remember that Nicodemus came forward along with Joseph of Arimathea, both of whom had been quiet, secret disciples, not telling too many people of how they felt about the Lord Jesus, sort of keeping it quiet, lest they got into trouble. But now, God has given them courage, and they're coming forward. And Joseph of Arimathea, he even went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. He went right to the top man and owned the Lord Jesus, crucified as a criminal, rejected by the people of Israel, mocked and laughed at. But he came forward and he begged the body of Jesus that he might give the Savior a proper burial. That's what happened. The Lord will never be left without a witness. That's good to know. That encourages you. Because these are dark times. People are not interested in the gospel as once there was an interest to be found in this land. But that does not mean that God doesn't carry out a work in such times as this. Just as he did carry out a work here, and the centurion was converted. I just wanted to emphasize that again, boys and girls. It's important. Then the second thing, the Lord Jesus will ever build his church, even at the cross. When it appeared to human eyes he was in utter defeat, he built his church. He added, if I might put it like this, he added some bricks to the church that he was building. He added the thief, whose name we don't know. And he added the centurion, who likewise we don't know his name. But these two men were converted, and they were made part of the church of Jesus Christ. So there he was, when men were scoffing at him and laughing at him and sneering at him, he was carrying on his great eternal work. Oh, never forget that, boys and girls. No matter what men may say about God and his kingdom, God and his kingdom continues to advance. The Savior had said in Matthew chapter 16, the verse 18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, shall not gain the victory over it, shall not overrun it. That's good to know. I've often thought that that must be an awful verse for the old devil to notice. For the verse tells the devil he can't win. He can't win. And that's so wonderful. That's good for us to read. The devil cannot win in all his attempts to defeat the work of God. There was no greater evidence of the saving power of the Lord Jesus than that displayed in the converting of the centurion and the thief. Because never was the Savior placed in such unhelpful circumstances. His hands were nailed, likely, as I've often said, above his head like that. His feet were nailed. To the eyes of man, he was totally helpless. And yet he saved the centurion and he saved the thief. That's good to know. The world might think the gospel has lost all its influence. They might even say that God doesn't exist. But that doesn't stop God working. Because man says God doesn't exist doesn't mean that God doesn't exist. That's only man spouting off and showing his ignorance. God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne. I had the pleasure yesterday when speaking to some of the leading medical authorities in the country of saying that very thing. It's not you men who are in control of affairs regarding this pandemic. God's on the throne. He's controlling everything. And he'll work out his purpose. And God was on the throne at Calvary. The Lord Jesus, though he appeared to be so helpless, he was still the sovereign one in complete authority. And he showed that by saving the Roman soldier and also the dying thief. I think that we should notice that something very significant was taking place in the conversion of the centurion. Because he wasn't a Jew. The Roman soldier, wherever he came from, because he could have come from any one of a large number of countries that were ruled over by the Roman Empire. I doubt if he was Irish, but you don't know. Could have been French, could have been Dutch, Italian. We just don't know where he came from. But this we do know, he wasn't a Jew. He was a Gentile. Mankind, all of humanity is divided into two groups. The Jew and the rest, and they're called Gentiles. And he was a Gentile. Now up until this time, God dealt only with the Jewish people. He dealt only with the Jewish people. They were his people. And you know the Old Testament history. Oh yes, there were times when God, in his wonderful mercy, extended his hand of goodness to those who were not Jews. But generally speaking, it was only the Jew that God had a dealing with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, and Jacob's 12 sons, and those that were born of Jacob's 12 sons, the tribes of Israel, as we call them. Those were the people God dealt with. And the rest of the world, generally speaking, God had no dealings with them. But now, a new chapter is being opened in the great work of God. Because the gospel was not only going to be preached to the Jew, but the gospel was going to be presented to the Gentiles. To the Gentiles. And I think that this man, why, he was, as it were, the first raindrop of a great outpouring of blessing upon the Gentile nations. You know that after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, he met with his apostles and he said, go into all the world. Now, that was a bit of a problem for some of the Jewish believers. They sort of said, wait a minute, surely God only has a dealing with us Jews. He has no dealing with the Gentiles. But he was going to have a merciful dealing with the Gentile nations from that time on. And while there was a bit of a struggle among the Jews about this whole business of the gospel being presented to the Gentiles, eventually it was recognized that yes, God's time for the Gentiles has come. And he's going to call out from the Gentile nations a great people unto himself. And this centurion, was he the first? Looks like it. The very first of a great harvest. The very first of a great harvest of soul. Something else I want to tell you. These two converts that the Lord had at the cross, the thief, and now we're talking about the centurion. These two men have been the means of winning hundreds of thousands of people to Christ. Because here we are today, and we're taking the words of this centurion, and we're looking at them and considering them as to what he had experienced. And we're learning from what he experienced and learning from his words. We're listening this morning to this Roman soldier. And what he said, you know, he said 2,000 years ago nearly. And here we are this morning learning from what he said. We're listening to him. Remember what he said? Truly, this man was the Son of God. That's what the Roman soldier 2,000 years ago wants you to hear today. Truly, this man was the Son of God. And he's telling us. And throughout the ages, thousands and thousands and thousands of people have heard that man's testimony, and they have been convinced by him, been won to Christ by him, and also by the dying thief. So there on the cross, where it seemed the Lord Jesus was defeated, he was such a dismal looking figure, bleeding, mocked, scoffed at, nailed to a Roman cross. He seemed so helpless. And yet, he had these two converts who in turn became the means of opening the door of heaven to thousands and thousands and thousands. Listen to me. That man only said those few words. That's all we know he said. Truly, this man was the Son of God. That's all he said. And yet those few words done so much good. You never know what good you can accomplish by just a few words. Let me tell you a little story. I'll not tell you the people involved, because some of you here are related to the people that I'm about to tell you about. But many years ago, before you were born, before even your mummy and daddy was born, there was a man in this area, wasn't saved, and he had a bad temper. And one day, when he came home from work, he showed that bad temper. And he said some angry words. And a wee daughter said to him, Daddy, if you don't get saved, you'll go to hell. And that man was so smitten by the testimony of his wee daughter that he got saved some short time afterward. Those words lived with him. He couldn't put them out of his mind. It troubled him time and time again that his wee daughter knew what he needed, where he was going if he didn't get saved. And that man got saved, along with his wife, along with his family, and many connected to him. And he goes to the church here at the present time. And if I were to tell you his name, you would know him. But the point is, it was just a few words from a little girl that brought about his conversion. and brought about the formation of this church to a very large degree.
That wee girl, what you said? She didn't know at the time. What I just said is going to see my daddy saved, and is going to see others saved, and is going to see a church started.
She didn't know that, but that happened as a result of what she said. Just like from this man's words, much, much, much good came about. Truly, this man was the Son of God. Boys and girls, I'll bring one final point. I want you to know that the Church of Jesus Christ is made up of converted thieves and converted rough Roman soldiers and those who were like them. That's what the church is made up of. How we need to emphasize that not one person who will arrive in heaven will say, I got here because I was good. No. Everyone that's in heaven will sing a song. And the words of that song are basically, unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins. We're sinners. And it is only the kindness and the mercy and the goodness and the blessing of God that took us out of our sins and brought us to heaven. The church is made up of those just like the thief and those like the Roman centurion. Men who in themselves had no goodness, but by the grace and power and goodness of the Lord, they were saved. You will not get to heaven because of who you are. Your mommy might be saved, your daddy might be saved, and perhaps you're thinking, well, if they're saved, then surely I'll go to heaven. No, no, no. You will only go to heaven if you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior and become, like mommy and daddy, saved by the grace of God. Oh, you listen to that today? Heed that today. Well, the Lord bless us. As we come to the end of that study, we'll be with you next week in the will of the Lord, and we'll be taking up, just for two assemblies, a different subject. Now let's bow in prayer. O God, we rejoice in thy kindness to the children here. Save them by thy grace and power. Remember those not out today, home sick. Lord, bless them, be near to them. Indeed, to all that we know who are suffering at this time, we commit them to thee, O God. And remember the many in the land that suffer, but who know nothing of God's goodness. Lord Jesus, may they in their trouble seek unto the Lord. Bless the school today. Give it a good day. Strengthen the teachers and help them at this trying time. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Amen.